It's the Personal Edge Fitness Show, a guide to improved health and fitness. You deserve a successful lifestyle, and Garrett Williamson will show you how, dispelling the myths of fitness, nutrition, and health, because you deserve to live well. Now, the guide for your journey, your host, Garrett Williamson.
All right, and today we are definitely continuing on with dispelling myths of health, fitness, and nutrition. And today's a big one. Today's one that may shock you a bit, as a matter of fact. Hey, this is Garrett Williamson, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show. We're glad to have you. I want to tell you how to get in touch with us if you have any questions about this topic or any others that we've talked about in the past, or if you have any questions about health, fitness, and wellness in general. I actually finished a talk today at University of South Alabama. I was asked to come out and speak at their JagFit program. I thank those guys, John Leach and Grace Foster, for having me out today, and had somebody ask a question afterwards unrelated to the topic. And so I wanted to make sure that, hey, you're more than welcome to call about those questions too. Our phone line is area code 251-278-3343. That's 251-278-EDGE, E-D-G-E. If you would, call and leave your name, where you're calling from, and how to get back in touch with you and your comment or question. Also, you can reach me on my Twitter account, which is @TeamPE. Also, reach me via email, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. That's Garrett@PersonalEdgeFitness.com. PersonalEdgeFitness.com is our website, and also our Facebook page, excuse me, for you social media fans out there. So, dispelling myths, my favorite thing to do. You know, it's amazing. The reason I have that as the title of this show is I find that I spend as much, if not more, time training clients of ours to unlearn. I guess that's probably the right way to say that, but to unlearn a lot of garbage they've been taught, a lot of myths that they've been taught or they've read over the years, and I spend so much time on that I actually created a talk that I've been given since 2003 that's called Dispelling the Myths of Health, Fitness, and Wellness, and it just seems to be a large part of what I do. And today it's so important to me. And you'll see this in today's topic. It's so important to me because of the vast number of problems that are caused by these lies. And I know that's a strong word. I use it a lot when I talk about like the lie of aging, the lie of food, and these lies that are myths. And I use that stronger word because I'm trying to drive a point home that these myths are dangerous. And with these myths, we're obviously in most cases we're not confronting the truth, and a lot of the myths are funded by money. I mean, they're basically follow the money, which is why we have those myths out there. And keep in mind, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a black helicopter guy, as I like to say, but there are a lot of myths, and there's a lot of money associated with those myths, which is why they're perpetuated. So I prefer to focus on the different results and the true cause of these things. Many times, in looking at health, fitness, and wellness, people look at a result, but they don't go about finding the true cause. And we tend also to be that causes us to be more reactionary than we are proactive. And you'll see what I mean as I get into this topic. I'm talking about today the myth that I mentioned in an earlier program about the number one killer. And I had some people catch that when I was talking about, and I listed like 15 different myths of health, fitness, and wellness. And many of those we've actually covered on the show. But I had people ask me about this. The number one killer is not what we believe it is. And their reaction was that seemed kind of reckless or dangerous, and it's not true. The what we believe to be the number one killer, especially in the U.S., is not. In fact, it lags behind what the true number one killer is, and that's what we're getting in today. So I'm going to give you the top 10 killers in the United States. Now, I'm not talking about serial murders or killers or what have you, or well, possibly political figures. I'm actually talking about the different under the AMA list as the top 10 killers in the U.S. Number one, and a lot of people have heard this, at 23.5% is heart disease. And they say that that's number one. I'm gonna call that number two, but that's got the top ranking right now. Number two is cancer, and then number three, believe it or not, is unintentional injuries. I found that surprising, that unintentional injuries was number three. There's accidents and what have you that fall into that. Number four, and some of these are associated, of course, with smoking, but chronic lower respiratory disease and things like COPD and what have you that lead to that. And those respiratory problems are, most of them are attributed to smoking, though you do have smog, you do have pollution and that exacerbate the problem, but most of that's caused by smoking. Number five is stroke or cerebral diseases, and mostly affiliated with stroke. Number six is Alzheimer's disease. And a lot of that is the result of Alzheimer's disease and the accidents that people can be led to with that terrifying disease. So number seven is diabetes, and I mentioned the percentage on this because diabetes is actually 3%. That's going to play into some of my information I'm coming up with in a minute. Number eight is influenza or pneumonia. Number nine is kidney disease. Number 10 is suicide. And there are also some obscure ones that are on number 11, but I won't get into that too deep. There are a lot of them that are unnamed that don't really gain enough percentage on their own, but all together they encompass a rather large percentage. But anyway, those are the top, what they call the top 10 killers in the U.S. And the reason I say that heart disease is not number one, and is the fact that the one I'm going to mention actually kills many more. In fact, heart disease kills 23.5%. And the number one killer, as I call it, actually is responsible for 25.5% of the deaths. And in doing my research for this, I was kind of curious about how many deaths we have in the U.S. And it's just south of 3 million. And so this... The 25.5% is somewhere around 700,000 deaths per year that what I call the number one killer causes. And the reason I cover this topic is that it's extremely dangerous, and I'm going to show you in the research, it's extremely dangerous that we don't classify this as the number one. It's extremely dangerous that we don't focus on this. Obviously, since it's the number one killer, I think we would. And by focusing on the wrong killers, focusing on these other 10, and not even having this one make the list. It's not even on the list. But having it on there, that's extremely dangerous. But I'm going to show you, we're pursuing... these others, we've done that in the past. We've done it for years, as a matter of fact, has actually caused the incidence of the number one killer to go up. We're compounding the problem, and we're masking it, we're compounding it, we're covering it up. When I get back from the break, I'm gonna let you know what the number one killer is. I'm also going to show you how we got there, kind of a history lesson of how we got to the number one killer. I'm going to show you where believing these obscure ideas of you know, heart disease being the number one killer or this the number one killer, as I call it, not even making the list, where that is... Let's just say it's extremely dangerous. I keep stating that, I know, but it's very important to me, obviously, so... Just to remind you, you're listening to the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show. I'm Garrett Williamson, and I'm looking forward to covering this topic with you and telling you how we can prevent it, how easy it is to prevent, how we actually have all the tools. We've had the tools for years. The only thing keeping us from doing that is not focusing on it and also not knowing the truth of what's actually causing it. Coming back, talking about the number one killer. I'll be back with you in a moment.
To the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, welcome back. If you were in a, you heard the first segment there, I know that was a gigantic tease. I'm quite certain of it. But so I appreciate you sticking around for it. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the number one killer. And as I said in the first segment, this we think it's heart disease. And that's something that we should be paying attention to. I do not mean to reduce the importance of us paying attention to heart disease, but it's not the number one killer. As far as I'm concerned, by far it's not the one killer, number one killer. The subject I'm talking about today is, and like I said in the first segment, the what I call the number one killer is by far more than the number one. By 2 percentage points, which is a heck of a lot of people. It happens to be the cause of number one, the top cause of number one killer, number five killer, number seven killer, and number nine killer. And it also causes the top causes. Follow me on that now. This the number one killer is the top cause for the top causes, if you follow that logic, of several of the top 10 killers. The causes of a stroke. Then the stroke, as I said in the first segment, number five, at the top of top killers in the world of the U.S. is stroke. And the causes of stroke are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. Well, the number one killer causes all of those. The top causes of kidney disease, which is number nine on the top killers. Top causes are high blood pressure and diabetes. Well, number one killer causes both of those. The top causes of influenza, the flu. The top causes of the flu, which is the number eight, influenza and pneumonia, is the number eight top 10 killer in the U.S. And the top causes of influenza are heart disease, chronic kidney disease, diabetes, and other chronic metabolic disorder, which the number one killer causes all those. Well, I know you're tired of me leading up to this, but it's pretty easy to understand if you haven't figured out already that the number one killer in the United States is obesity. Now, it may sound simple. It may sound, well, yeah, of course we know that. That causes high blood pressure, it causes heart disease, whatever, yeah, but still the number one killer is heart disease. No, the number one killer is obesity. And the reason I say that is where I got that 25.5% that I mentioned in the first segment, that the number one killer, which is obesity, that it causes 25.5% death, it's pretty easy. And actually, it's a low projected number. Very low projected number. I simply combined the incidence of death of number one, which is according to research is heart disease, and the incidence of death of number seven, which is diabetes, because the number one cause of diabetes and the number one cause of heart disease is obesity. The number one cause of both of those. If you took obesity away, if obesity didn't exist, many of these top killers would not even make the top 10 list. If you took away obesity, you would basically take away the high incidence of high blood pressure that we have, because it goes hand in hand with the obesity rates that we have. If you took away obesity, you would take away the majority of high cholesterol that we have, number two cause of strokes. if you took away obesity, you would not see the diabetes epidemic that we have. I wouldn't go so far as to say that diabetes wouldn't exist. I mean, type 2 diabetes, it would shrink in number tremendously. But again, the number one cause of diabetes is obesity. And as I said earlier, number one cause of kidney disease, high blood pressure, diabetes. You take obesity away, you don't have high blood pressure, the amount of high blood pressure that we have, we don't have the amount of diabetes we have. And I brought up influenza because I was a little shocked to see that myself, that flu, pneumonia, that it's caused by heart disease, chronic kidney disease, diabetes. All three of those, as I said earlier, are basically caused by, the number one cause for them is obesity. And actually it lists, under causes of influenza, they list morbid obesity. I mean, it's right there. And you see overweight listed under heart disease and what have you, but it's obesity. It's obesity that's causing this problem. But yet, there's no American Obesity Association. There's an American Diabetes Association. There's an American Heart Association. There's no American Obesity Association. I'm not so sure that an association would make a difference in it. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that many of those organizations, in fact, I know for a fact those organizations do make a difference in the research and what have you in heart disease and diabetes. Absolutely. I don't mean to downplay that. But the fact that I bring up that we don't have an American Obesity Association or a prevalent one of that matter is the fact that you see the lack of importance we put on obesity, which is the number one killer. And I draw attention to this, and I'm talking about this, and why I think we need to place more focus on this is because it's the cause of all these others. I mean, rather than focus on trying to fix six different directions to fix things, if you could solve one of them, if you just focus on one and basically solve the problems, the amounts of the others, wouldn't that be where you want to place your focus? And instead, we don't place our focus there. In fact, in many instances, we just go off in the completely wrong direction. And I'll show you as we go along here, in many ways, we glorify it. And that's scary to me. Let me tell you about some of the health problems associated with obesity. And I've mentioned some already, but number one is type 2 diabetes is a health problem associated with obesity. You can Google this. I mean, it's there. Number two, high blood pressure. Again, that comes up 3 or 4 times in the top 10 list as a cause of one of the top 10 diseases. Number three, heart diseases and strokes. There it is right there. Health problems associated with obesity. Heart diseases and strokes. Number one and number, I always have to look back at my notes. Number five. Number one, number five, right there. Certain types of cancer associated with it. Number two cause is cancer. Sleep apnea. That's going to affect energy levels. That's going to affect, cause all kinds of health problems, which is why we have sleep study centers and what have you. Osteoarthritis. You know, osteoarthritis causes many problems, as people know that either know somebody that has it or experiences it themselves. But osteoarthritis is also one of the leading, it's one of the things that exacerbates falls. You know, causes pain, causes difficulty, causes people not to exercise as much. Therefore, they degenerate muscles. Therefore, when they fall, they can get hurt. Incidence of mortality jumped by 2/3 with the first hip fracture. So osteoarthritis, in a way, indirectly, can be a killer. Number seven, as far as health problems associated with obesity, is fatty liver disease. And number eight. Right there, number eight is the number nine top killer. Health problem associated with obesity, kidney disease. I think that should pretty well drive my point home that the number one killer in the U.S. is obesity. What I like about it, though, now that's kind of funny. What I like about the number one killer. What I like about the number one killer, it is completely solvable. We know how to solve it. We're not in the dark about this. We've known for years how to solve it. Even in 2019, we go about it the wrong way. We pick the wrong enemies. We color it the wrong way. We put myths out there because they tend to make a lot of money in actually attacking obesity, even though we do those horrible things. This is a solvable problem. And just wave, you know, I say this to people when I'm kind of thinking of big picture items, and I break it down from here. I say, I'm going to wave my magic wand. But wave your magic wand and let's just wipe obesity out. We just don't have obesity. It's not even a blip on the radar anymore. Well, it's easy to conclude how healthy we would be, how these killers would go, how heart disease would go down, how diabetes would go down, how all these other problems would go down if we just took care of obesity. And again, if we're looking at it and it's solvable, why not? And it's solvable at every socioeconomic level. I mean, there's nothing keeping us from preventing obesity. But first thing we need to do, we need to fully understand what obesity is. Most people really don't know what obesity is. And in fact, we tend to be a bit funny in describing what obesity is. We use, as far as I'm concerned, the wrong scales. There's also a reason why we became so obese. It was a myth. It was misinformation that caused it, which is still rather prevalent today. Hopefully I'm going to explain some of those briefly to you. I'm going to explain what the answer is. I'm going to show you how we can quite easily solve this. So coming back, we'll be talking more about the number one killer. I'm going to show you how we got there, and I'm going to show you how to fix it. You're listening to Garrett Williamson on the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right, back talking about the number one killer in the United States, which is obesity, according to Garrett Williamson of Personal Edge Fitness. And it is the number one killer. I guarantee you it is. So I'm going to give you you're going to love this. I'm going to give you the skinny on fat. How about that? You know, what's interesting about it is, first thing, you need to understand, and I'm going to get into more of this in just a minute because I'm going to tell you the history. I'm going to tell you how we got here. But first, let me tell you real quick, what is obesity? I mean, what exactly is it? Now, you've probably heard, you can imagine that obesity means somebody that's overweight or fat. You've probably heard that obesity is at 25 on the BMI scale or higher. Well, actually, that's not the truth. I mean, that's what we use to kind of get an eyeball and a thumbnail sketch of what obesity is. But it's not. That's not really the truth. The bottom line, and this works for everyone, whether they're fit or not, BMI really doesn't work for somebody that's extremely fit. You can have somebody that has a low body fat percentage, is in incredible shape, and they're borderline obesity according to the BMI scale. And so BMI is a good, it's better than weight, but it's kind of, as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of an updated height and weight scale. It's, again, a thumbnail sketch. The best way to determine obesity is through body fat. And the definition of obesity, the scientific definition of obesity, is 30% body fat or more. And that is that's actually what we're talking about. And I'll get into a little deeper about that after I tell you the history and how we got here. Because we actually caused this. And the interesting thing about it, scary thing, to tell you the truth, and this is what myths can do. We got there by actively looking for a cure for heart disease. And this this looking for a cure to heart disease, looking for what causes heart disease and attacking heart disease, we actually escalated incidence of obesity, which, if you heard the first segment, which obviously escalated heart disease. It escalated diabetes. It escalated kidney disease. I can keep going. You see where I'm going with this. Escalated several of the top 10 causes of stroke, several of the top 10 causes of death. So how do we get here? Well, I'm gonna take you back, and I'm not going to go too deep into this subject because I actually have a series coming up talking about what I call the lie of food, and it will get more in depth with this. And I'm going to do something that my staff reminds me quite often. One particular staff member reminds me quite often. Garrett, tell the story. Tell what you need to tell. Don't write your book. So I'll go over this somewhat briefly. But this, the escalating of obesity started back in the 1950s. There was a, I've said this in a couple other shows, but there was a famous celebrity who had heart disease and ended up with having a heart attack, and everybody thought he was in incredible shape, and he was extremely popular, and but he had a heart attack, and so the nation went crazy. If something happens to an individual or a group of people, it's a crisis, but if it happens to a celebrity, it's a tragedy. And so the United States got very active in seeking a cure for heart disease. And they happened to find somebody that was an American, and was a biochemist, and who happened to be doing research on heart disease. And the biochemist's name was Angel Keys. And several of you may know this story, so I won't go too deep into it. But he published a study known as the Seven Country Study. And this actually came out to the mainstream media back my recollection, I would say about eight to 10 years ago, this actually came out. It was actually in Life magazine that it came out that his study was, he cherry picked his information. But what he came up with was something known as the lipid hypothesis. Now, remember that now, lipid hypothesis, which was established in around 1957. And he basically stated in the lipid hypothesis that saturated fat, high saturated fat, equaled high cholesterol in the body. And that, in turn, is what equaled high incidence of heart disease. And that's the lipid hypothesis. This lipid hypothesis, which, by the way, this is 62 years later. 62 years later, it's still referred to as the lipid hypothesis. It's kind of interesting. You'd think that would be proven by now. But it's still referred to as the lipid hypothesis. You'll see why. But this biochemist, Angel Keys, became very popular. It became so popular that it was accepted by the USDA. It was accepted, the lipid hypothesis as causing heart disease, it was accepted by USDA. It was accepted by the AMA, American Medical Association, the American Diabetes Association, and the American Heart Association. So all these different organizations got behind it. Now, you would think that if they produced a study that said, oh, wow, we have found the cause of heart disease, that they would have done follow-up studies to prove it. You know, that's typically what they do. Are we sure that's correct? Let's do another independent study to prove it. And there were several of them done. One was the Framingham study. And the Framingham was conducted strictly to bolster the beliefs. I mean, they were out to prove what Angel Keys had found. And well, what the Framingham study found can be summed up by a couple quotes with it. Dr. George Mann, who's an MD who was involved in the Framingham study, said that dietary fat, it's a quote, dietary fat is not the determinant of either high cholesterol or coronary heart disease. Another quote is, this is like the lipid hypothesis. The diet heart hypothesis is the greatest scam ever perpetuated on the American public. And again, like I said, it's still referred to this day as a lipid hypothesis. All right, why is this important? Why is this? Well, this is where we came up with saturated fat is bad. Many of us who weren't born in that time, whatever, if this had not been done, we would not think of fat, FAT, is a bad thing. And we all do. I mean, in the back of your mind, it's still there. I mean, if you, even if you eat red meat and what have you, which is what the study criminalized. It's the first food we criminalized, and this is why I say that there's no such thing as good food or bad food, and why that actually causes more obesity than it ever helps. But we would never have believed that red meat was bad. We would never believe that fat was bad. It was all done by this study. And if you think it doesn't have tentacles that spread all the way to 2019, well, just look on the side of the box of a popular cereal brand. I won't name anybody here, but if you look on the side of the cereal box and several foods like this, it says a heart healthy meal. Well, that's what they're talking about. They said that this lowered cholesterol, and that's all based on the lipid hypothesis. This caused us to produce the food guide of 1970, and this was the McGovern report. This is a Senator McGovern from South Dakota. The McGovern report came out and basically set up our food guidelines. And our food guidelines, that was basically your basic food guide pyramid, where they had us taking in large amounts of grains over amounts of carbohydrates and what have you, and cutting red meat out and doing lower amounts of things that had saturated fat. And I'm not going to get real deep into the anti-carbohydrate. That's for another talk, because, again, there's no such thing as good food or bad food. But there was scientists from St. Louis, University of St. Louis, so several scientists that addressed the McGovern committee. And they said, listen, wait till the data comes out. One of them was quoted as saying, wait till the data comes out. If you don't wait till the data comes out, you're going to create a problem in the U.S. public of epidemic proportions. That was his actual quote. And, of course, that's what we did. When we came out with this lipid hypothesis, we started chasing these dietary recommendations set about by the McGovern report, started by Angel Keys. Our incidence of heart disease and our incidence of obesity skyrocketed. And you'd think by now that we had figured it all out. Well, actually, in the last 3 years, obesity rates have jumped yet again. We've criminalized all the food. we've found reasons to not eat about everything. And I think that's what's causing the problem. We're going after solving this the wrong way. First thing, I don't think we put enough importance on it. And the second thing is we blame society. We blame the food. There's a lack of education of what obesity actually is. There's a major lack of education about what's causing. And I run into this of people of all educational backgrounds, all socioeconomic levels. There's just so much misinformation about what really causes it. And I told you at the beginning of all this is solvable. We know the answer. We've known the answer for years. This is no myth. What we need to do is we need to make sure that the people that are getting this information out, or that if you're going to seek to fix this problem, you go to people that have the right mindset, that have the right education, that have the right understanding of what causes obesity and how to stop it, which I keep saying this. I'm going to keep reminding this. This is why I call it the number one killer, which if we are able to cure obesity, we're able to reduce the rates of obesity in the United States, that top 10 list would look vastly different. And quite frankly, we live a heck of a lot longer, which I've proven through my series on live aging that we should be. I'll show you why this has been perpetuated. I'm also going to show you how we can fix it. And how it's really an easy fix, and it's a lot easier than the methods we're taking to try to solve the problems of these other killers. Let's take care of the top killer first, and let's see if we can wipe out the others while we do it. When I get back, I'm going to show you how to fix this. You're listening to Garrett Williamson and the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show. I'll see you in a minute.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right. Back dispelling another myth today, talking about the true number one killer. I sure hope it don't upset anybody in the American Heart Association or American Diabetes Association or in these fine organizations that I am a tremendous fan of. But you know, the number one killer is it's obesity. Now I told you how we got here. We got here through a myth. We got here through, quite frankly, I believe somebody's seeking the spotlight. I mean, this biochemist that started the whole lipid hypothesis and the idea that saturated fat was the reason for heart disease ended up on the cover of Time magazine. He ended up as the head of the National Institute of Health. He ended up on the board of the American Heart Association, several other places. And the professors at different universities that wouldn't basically repeat back to the U.S. government what they had decided was the truth didn't get funded. And there's some rather prominent scientists that worked at different universities that lost their job because they couldn't get funding for their studies because they didn't back up this lie. So why has it been exacerbated? What's going on there? And I may step on some toes when I say this, but I really don't think we take the problem of obesity as serious as we do the other killers. And again, it's the number one killer. I mean, when you say heart disease, that's nothing to toy with, and I agree. When you say diabetes, again, you know, get help. Lord, we got to do something about this. Obesity? Yeah, we know it's a problem. And when it comes to children, you know, the childhood obesity, in fact, those rates have gone crazy. We got more concerned. And I happen to work in a multi-trillion dollar business of fitness that started somewhere in the 1960s. I still don't think we take it near as serious. And I'll show you why. First thing is that, kind of follow the money. I don't want to get too deep into this because there's a lot of good things that come out of some of the things I'm going to talk about right here, but follow the money. I mean, with the belief of high cholesterol and the lipid hypothesis, there's a lot of money associated with that. I'm just going to leave that right there. There's just a lot of money associated with that. So there's a lot of money in trying to quote unquote solve those problems without focusing on obesity. I'm going to skip over that and go to you can draw your own conclusions there, but the other thing is that, and I don't think I talk about this enough, we are reactionary. We're not preventative. You know, typically you don't go to a doctor unless you have a problem. And very few of us actually go to a doctor for preventative means. We go to a doctor for when we have a problem, and many times we go just for the physician to hopefully verify our own diagnosis. Not finding out that we may be obese or that we may be heading that direction until we see something like diabetes or we see something like a clogged artery or even a stroke or kidney disease. You know, knowing that we're heading that way, basically understanding what our body fat percentage is, knowing that and seeing if it's creeping up in that direction, if we get in the dangerous area, just knowing that would give us reason, good as cause, to do something about it. And the way we think of obesity is that, well, if I'm you know, if I got a 50 something inch waist, sure I'll be concerned. But did you know that there are thousands of people walking around that are thin, THIN, they are thin, that are obese? It's true. I see it all the time. But we would never think of that person as obese because we don't know what obesity is. And that means your obesity means you're fat, means you're big. And that person can't be, oh, my Lord, Garrett, you're off your rocker to think that person is obese. But if you're 30, if your body fat is 30% body fat or higher and you weigh a fantastic weight in your mind as being extremely light, well, you've got risk for heart disease. You've got risk for stroke. You've got risk for kidney disease. It doesn't matter that you're big. It matters that you are obese. And so finding that out, doing some preventative maintenance is rather important here. We also desire to seek the quick answer. And this is usually done with medication. I mean, if you've got high cholesterol, and I'm a fan of modern medicine. I'm a fan of the different drugs that have been created. I really am. I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people, but that is one of the reasons why we're living longer. But high blood pressure medicine, high cholesterol medicine, I understand the importance of a lot of those. But we're looking for the quick answer. You know, well, you have high blood pressure. Well, give me a pill or something to take care of it. Well, you know, you're obese also. If you were to cure your obesity, you wouldn't have high blood pressure. You wouldn't have high cholesterol. Oh, I really don't want to put that much effort into it. I'll think about it, but give me a pill. And I do not blame the medical community for this whatsoever. When we as a society look for that, we want that quick answer. And we tend to, one of the, probably the biggest problem, and Garrett would say, in Garrett's mind, the largest problem that we don't address this, largest problem we have in addressing the problem of obesity is blaming society, blaming lifestyle, blaming the biggest one, Lord, in Garrett's mind, definitely, I can prove this over and over again, is blaming food. That's the most absurd idea, is to blame food, you know, characterize food as good or bad. What we're trying to cure here is an amount problem. That's pretty easy to see. 30% body fat or higher, that's obesity. Well, that's an amount. That's not a type. That's an amount problem. And here we are blaming types of food. I'll show you what I mean by that. If I were to ask you, what did you have to eat last night for supper? You probably could think about it and rattle it off. If I asked you, what did you have for breakfast 2 days ago? You probably could tell me. If I ask you, what did you have for Sunday dinner 2 weeks ago? You probably could tell me. Many people could tell me where they got it. They could tell me what kind of special types of food they had, because they had the gooder food than the other food that I was really good food. It was pretty. It was perfect. It was whatever. But if I were to ask you in the last 5 hours how many calories you have had, I bet you couldn't rattle that one off.
No clue.
That is an amount. That's not a type. That's an amount. And we are clueless about amounts. And when your body takes in too many calories, period. If you heard my episode on metabolism, you'd understand this. If your body takes in too many calories, that more calories than it expends, it's going to store fat. It doesn't store bone. It doesn't store an extra eyeball. It doesn't store muscle. It stores fat. And remember what I said about fat? If it becomes 30% of your body weight is fat, you are obese. So understanding those amounts is very, 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 very important. So what we want to know is, what is healthy? What is healthy? What is a healthy range of body fat? Knowing that, you know, under 21, 22 for men, under 25% for women, that's what we know is healthy. What is a healthy amount as far as calories are concerned? Well, that's easy to find. You can do it through a free app called MyFitnessPal. I'm a big fan of it. I'm not a paid spokesperson for them. I should be. But I'm not a paid spokesperson for them. But you can easily put all your information in MyFitnessPal and get an idea of how many calories you should have a day. More importantly, there's a reason why we overeat. There is a reason why we overeat. Understanding that reason is extremely important. I said earlier that we actually don't face this problem. We actually glorify it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not into fat shaming. I'm not into picking on people that are obese by any means. Mm-hmm. But celebrating it as we do, you know, big, bold, and beautiful, I'm not so sure that's the answer. You know, in dealing with hurt feelings of an alcoholic, we're not going to put them on the cover of a magazine and say they're just a tremendously wonderful person. We're going to deal with alcoholism. I think we ought to say the same thing with obesity. So the first thing, of course, is looking at those, knowing what is healthy, and also looking at those amounts, understanding why we overeat. But we need to face this problem. If we're going to face heart disease, let's face obesity. If we're going to face kidney disease, let's face obesity. If we're going to face diabetes, let's face obesity. Don't make it bigger than it is. Control those amounts of food. Expend more than you take in. And I don't think I can get through a single episode without saying this. Your biggest friend in this is water, 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 water. And do as I say, eat with your body, not your brain. And again, if you want to get rid of fat, drink a lot of water. I'm serious about this. Another thing I'm going to tell you is when you go to seek the answer to this problem, find somebody in the health field that understands the problem. Now, we at Personalized Fitness, of course, we know that there's no such thing as bad food. We know that the bad food didn't get you here. We understand the problem. We understand what you need to address and how you need to attack it. We actually have a program called Catalyst, which is a lifestyle change program. It's not a food change program. It is a lifestyle change program, and that's what actually gets you on the right course. But you're welcome to come see us at 513 West I-65 Service Road North, or call us at 341-0927 to set up an appointment or a consultation. We'll sit down and talk to you about it a little more in depth. It's also why I have a show coming up with What is Weight Loss? Because I'm dealing with this problem of obesity. We want to do our best to help you get back on track, make this problem no bigger than it is, keep you out of those other 11 causes of death by attacking the most important one. And more importantly, we're always here to help you find your level of wellness. Hey, this is Garrett Williamson. You've been listening to the Personalized Fitness Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope to have you on have you back listening next week. Take care.
This has been the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you live a successful lifestyle. Continue the journey next Tuesday at 6, when Garrett Williamson brings you another edition of the Personal Edge Fitness Show on FM Talk 106.5.